I'd never heard about this party. This is like high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember. All the cool kids got an invite, didn't yeah. I? Didn't you get one in
there? Where was my invite? I'm asking that question as well.
Yeah. I thought you were coming out to Sparstone. You're not. You just had to sort out your travel.
Good morning. Welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn, and with me today is Fraser McInnes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Just Fraser today, no Chris. Although he might be popping along later. We just don't know. He's an unknown quantity. Wild card.
Yeah, he is a wild card. He's mysterious. He turns up in his own sweet time, and that's why we love him.
Yeah, but that's what, if you're the boss, you can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like an episode of 24 now, isn't it? You just don't know when the bomb's going to explode.
Sure, that is very much what our podcast is like. What's our cliffhanger going to be this week, I wonder?
I've never seen an episode of 24.
Jack Bauer gets into a very nail-biting session of Bejeweled.
Yeah, I've heard my friends say some very complimentary things about Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
And his influence on their sexuality. But me, I've never seen it, so I can't say. Although I think I feel pretty much that way about Jason Bourne.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the thing about 24, the guy that writes it is a self-confessed right-wing nut. And like that's how he describes himself. So, I've not actually seen beyond the first couple of series, but I hear that it basically just spirals into the worst kind of sort of Team America propaganda. So, I think maybe 24 is a spent force. But maybe if they introduced iPhone gaming in some respect, that it would be better.
So, yeah, I'm not sure that would fit, really. So, have you had a good week?
Yeah, very good week, yeah. Busy, I've been travelling about the place. But, yeah, it's been a good week. How about yourself?
It's been good, yeah. I've got exciting news. But,
oh, yeah?
But I can't review it. It's just a... It's just kind of hidden, exciting news.
Well, is it wedding related or work related or what is it related to?
It's one of those things where the clue would get you straight there, so I can't even.
Good God.
But I do have a wedding coming up.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
All right, okay.
We better get off the subject of... But I learned a song yesterday on the guitar called Strange and Beautiful, and that pleased me.
Very good. Who's the author of that song?
Oh, I can't remember. Someone, it's just like a one-hit wonder, pretty much.
Aqualung, was it not?
Aqualung, yes, that's right. Yeah. I don't know anything else by that. And I've been teaching myself how to sing, and I was singing it, playing the guitar. Everything was going well. Thinking, passers-by are dialing into this momentarily and thinking, who is that performing maestro in that basement flat in Bristol?
Wow.
Right, we should move on from this subject.
I don't think so. I think we should stay on this subject. In fact, I think this podcast deserves its own serenade from you.
Oh, no, that doesn't work because it never picks up the guitar, so it would just sound like me singing. Without a guitar, I'm not ready to go without stabilizers. I'm not
right.
I'm not Subo, which incidentally is what our friends call Susie and I.
What, really?
Susie and Bobbert. Well, not all of our friends. Basically, it's just one of them called Prue and her sister.
Well, I hope it catches on. That's brilliant.
Rennie got wind of it and started doing it, but then he's forgotten.
He's into that sort of thing, isn't he?
Annoyingly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's become of Alex? Has he been shut away into a cupboard somewhere as a penance just for being him? Or is he? Or what's happened to him?
He's around. You know, if he pops onto Skype, then maybe we'll dial him in, say hello, see what he's up to.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Find out what Oscar's up to as well.
Oscar, he's making his house muddy.
Really? Okay.
Which is very pleasing news. Anyway. Let's talk about iPhone news.
Right, let's do that.
This is where the jingle comes in.
This is where the jingle would come in, yeah.
I only ever hear in the in the recorded version. And then I go, I don't remember that.
That's it. I'm a wizard. I'm a sound wizard. That's what they call me.
Yeah. Well, first up, Sonic news.
Yeah.
There are two items of Sonic news. Possibly related.
Okay.
Okay, so number one, the other day, Sonic and the Olympic Games. Well, okay, maybe there are three items. It came out, so that's one bit of news. Shortly afterwards, it was removed from the App Store. Let me just check to see if it's...
Scandal. Why? Why was it removed?
Nobody knows. Tracy contacted Sega, and last I heard, they hadn't explained why it happened. And it's still not there. It's still not on the App Store. So that, it came on, then disappeared under mysterious circumstances.
Perhaps Sonic came up negative on a, came up positive, sorry, on a drugs test. Maybe he's been using steroids or other performance enhancers.
Must be. It was, he was disqualified.
Yeah.
But then, yesterday, well, Sega announced that Project Needlemouse, which was this kind of vaguely secret project they had coming, is actually Sonic 4, which is a 2D sequel to Sonic 3, which came out in 1994. And it's going to be on XBLA and the PlayStation Network and WiiWare. And so that's coming. And on the site, on the Sonic 4 site, there was, it had Xbox, PlayStation 3, Wii, and then a mystery console, a square with a question mark in it. And some bloggers, and in the URL it said, you know, Sonic4_locked.png or something. This is what the story goes. And they just took out the underscore locked to be taken to this other image, which said Sonic 4 coming to iPhone, as well as the other three, in July 2010. So, but it looked really fake. It looked really dodgy, this little image, and it could have been made by anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah, I've watched the trailer.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm going to go on record, in fact, and say that watching that trailer is probably about the most exciting piece of gaming news I've experienced in well over 18 months, including the release of, including the announcement of the iPad and everything. Sonic 3 is definitely still in my top 5 games of all time. And a return to a proper 2D Sonic that actually carries on from in the same vein as the previous officially numbered title is just too exciting to really even fully comprehend for me. But yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. Apparently July it's coming out.
Okay.
And it's, yeah, I think for the franchise it's a bit funny, isn't it? So they had Sonic 3 and then they spent, well, basically 16 years in the wilderness, kind of trying to do something else with the franchise and trying to make, those Sonic Rings games, which were shy.
Well, I mean, half of that 16-year period at least was spent dormant. I think really when the Dreamcast was released, that's when I remember kind of the Sonic franchise being resurrected, and they came out with Sonic Adventure, and that was amazing. I remember playing Sonic Adventure and just being absolutely blown away, especially the first two or three levels. It kind of got a little bit, after that it got a little bit, I don't know, a little bit too crazy, but just visually and, you know, everything about it, this was a 3D Sonic as it was supposed to be. And there was actually a sequel, but it was quite a rare disc to get hold of because it came out roughly around the same sort of time as Sega discontinued the Dreamcast. And then after that, they just tried to remake that game about 100 times and failed every time, and then that, I think that's really when the kind of cries for the 2D thing came back. And it is really exciting that they're going back to this, and I think, you know, if this game's successful, hopefully we'll see more 2D Sonic games.
Wow, you're a Sonic expert.
I was a Mega Drive kid, you see. I didn't have a SNES. I was into the Sega side of things. That was the thing. Everyone knew the SNES was a more powerful console, but everyone thought that Sonic was a much cooler character to be into than Mario. At least back in my school playground, that was the case.
Sounds like a hell of a playground.
It was.
I think we can look forward to Sonic 4 coming to iPhone.
Yeah, that seems
or iPad. I mean, assuming that the image is mocked up and say in the mystery The only thing arguing in favour of iPad for me, and everything's going to be like this from now on, is it iPad, is it iPhone? The only thing that argues iPad for me is that why would it conceal iPhone? Because everything comes out on iPhone these days. So that makes me think, well, maybe it's actually iPad, and the person who mocked up the image got it wrong. But we'll see.
We'll see. No, that's possible. And either way, there's every chance. You know, I think it's going to be the case that we're going to see an incredible quantity of iPad kind of tailored versions of iPhone games. So if somebody releases an iPhone game and it's successful, then they'll probably think to themselves, do you know what? I'm going to spend a month or, you know, a little bit longer than that making this an iPad-specific experience as well. And I can't imagine that it's too difficult to you know, customize it to work perfectly on the iPad.
Yes. So, see what else is coming out.
Go on then.
Assassin's Creed 2 multiplayer game.
Wow. How on earth is that going to work?
Top down.
Right.
Kill people.
Right.
Multiplayer.
So it's like a cross between Pac-Man and Assassin's Creed.
Well, the strapline that Will Wilson wrote for the story, Will Wilson's our new our dude, is GTA Renaissance Florence. So that's his take on it.
Right, okay.
But we'll see. Yeah, it looks all right. There's a screenshot here. Ubisoft has told us that Assassin's Creed 2 multiplayer, which is its proper title, will be hitting the App Store shortly. So it's maybe it's even here. Probably won't
be. So is it a completely separate release from Assassin's Creed 2?
Yeah.
It's not an update.
It's a completely different game. Actually, and this hit the wider blogosphere. We're aware of this game coming. So sites like Joystick, you know, had seen on the Ubisoft site that there was an Assassin's Creed 2 multiplayer game coming. I don't think anybody expected it to be an iPhone game. But it is.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I actually read somewhere when there was rumblings of this that people were expecting this as DLC for the console versions, which naturally you would do. So, yeah, that's very interesting to see that Ubisoft's putting, putting all their effort into the iPhone version. That's cool.
It looks very... It doesn't look very rich, graphically rich or anything. It's just a little top-down thing.
Right.
But it's... I suppose what's interesting about it is what Ubisoft is prepared to do with the brand. Because it's not... I don't think they're obviously not expecting to make a kind of super game, and they don't seem to have put very much into it. But they're confident that they're not going to harm the brand by having this kind of cheap and cheerful iPhone version, which is interesting. Anyway, that's coming. Assassin's Creed multiplayer. Did you play Assassin's Creed 2 on the consoles?
No, I'm desperate to. But being slightly hard nosed when it comes to these things, I can't bring myself to part with the £35 that it costs to buy the game new, so I'm going to wait until I can get myself a second-hand copy for about £20.
Can't be far off.
No, you're quite right. Have you played it?
Yeah, I played it over Christmas. It's a good game.
Is it? Yeah, everyone raved about it when the reviews came about. It seems to be a huge leap forward from the first one.
Yeah. It leapt forward from the first one, grabbed onto a drainpipe, shimmied up, and then stabbed a guard in the neck. Of gaming. So what else is coming? This is quite... our news section today is quite rumour mining. It's almost... The segue to the rumour mining is going to be very easy today.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
Because we've already had one. Big. Sonic 4 coming to iPhone. There's a question mark at the end of that.
Yeah.
And there's a question mark at the end of the... What follows? D-Blob coming to iPad.
Right. Can you get D-Blob already for the iPhone?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's clearly coming... in the sense that you'll be able to play it out of the box, as they say. I say these words with quotation marks. But it's coming to iPad as well, apparently.
I saw yesterday that the Blob 2 was officially announced. So is this going to be on iPad, a version of the Blob 2, or is this going to be a sort of a first release for the iPad, the Blob kind of thing?
Just the Blob.
Right, so it's not the sequel coming to iPad as well, it's just the Blob coming to iPad.
Well, I mean, it could be. Because being a rumour, it's cloaked in mystery to some extent. This is CEO Brian Farrell, during an investor conference call, which people can listen into, which I always think is a bit weird.
Okay. Yeah, I find that weird as well.
Yeah, and he said that Diblob, there's going to be more Diblob in fiscal year 2011, which begins in April. And the conjecture is made by Spanner that we're going to get an iPad version, which I think is reasonable. Yeah. But there's no indication in there about whether or not it's a sequel. Diblob, I never, not a game I've ever played, to be honest.
I never played the full on console Wii version. I did play the smartphone version, which was quite nice, if a little bit too simple, I think. But it was, the characters are quite endearing, and I think there's some scope there for the gameplay to be quite interesting. But yeah.
Excellent. So, what else do we have? Plants, very quickly, Plants vs. Zombies, which has been delayed, the iPhone version, so everybody's looking forward to PopCap game. It's been delayed, and there was some speculation when, because it was supposed to be, it was supposed to come out at the end of January, around about the time that Apple was doing its announcement. It's doing its reveal, as some people say, not people I have much time for, of the iPad in America. And because it was coming out about the same time as that, and then suddenly it was delayed and the iPad came out, a few people speculated that perhaps this was because they were pulling it back and they were going to release it on the iPad instead. Which actually a lot of people, it was a bit dry game-wise at the beginning of the year, and a lot of people were speculating that this was because people were leaving the games until the iPad came out, which I'm not sure is entirely true. But with Plants vs. Zombies, that was the rumor, but then PopCap said, no, that's not the case. In fact, it's just because it's such an awesome, complicated game where, you know, it took a bit longer than we expected.
Right. Okay.
So that's coming out.
This really has been a long time coming, though, hasn't it? We had the first news item about this way before Christmas, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm. I'm seeing if this is... I've been all over iTunes today. This is about the fourth game I've looked up to see if it's available yet.
And it's not, is it?
No. Plants and Animals. That's an album. Little Shop of Horrors.
Is that the film?
Yeah, or maybe the soundtrack to the film, I didn't linger. Essentially, fundamentally, what I'm saying is, the news I have to report is that it is not.
Okay.
I can confirm that it is not. Elsewhere, Sony says, I think it was John Collar, said that people buying the iPad will make them then buy the PSP. What I think is a remarkable logical progression.
Not only is it a remarkable logical progression, this is a remarkable about-face for Sony's usual sort of PR tactic when dealing with the competition. I remember when the Xbox 360 came about, that, you know, a lot of the kind of high-ranking execs in the Sony camp were saying, oh, it's not a next-generation console. Only the PlayStation 3 is actually a next-generation console, despite the fact that, in terms of hardware, they're reasonably evenly matched. And it wasn't just that that this chap said, that Collar said, that people might play a PSP as a result of having played an iPad. He actually even went as far as to say that the iPad will be good for Sony. And you know, obviously that comes with the qualifier that he's trying to infer somehow that people will see it as a gateway to the PSP. But it still leaves that. The potential for that headline wide open. It still leaves the potential for journalists to say, Collar says iPad good for Sony. And as a PR exercise, that's a very, very different tack for Sony to take, I think.
What he said was, I think he said something similar about the iPhone as well.
Did he really?
Yeah, but his exact words were, Apple's entrance, this is to the Wall Street Journal, Apple's entrance into the portable gaming space has been a net positive for Sony, he says. When people want a deeper, richer console, they start playing on a PSP. So as you say, in his mind, it's a gateway drug. They go, all right, yeah, oh, I'm loving this iPod Touch. Oh, and this iPad, this is amazing. I think I'll stop playing it and get a different console. It's madness.
It is madness, yeah.
I wrote a news story about it, and the first two paragraphs, it was basically just a metaphor about someone being in love with a girl, and then she starts going out with someone else, and him saying, ah, well, this is good, because going out with him will make her want to go out with me. In the story, I end the metaphor by saying, you beseech your friend with tears in your eyes to remove his head from his rectum. This, I suppose, I will say to John Collar. But never mind. Maybe they'll be right.
That's harsh but fair. You know, what's also quite interesting about this is that Sony often likes to play up the idea that its products are somehow like have this sort of mystical quality in terms of power. They use really daft buzzwords. I remember when the PS2 came out. It was the emotion engine was at the heart of the PS2, and this was a chip capable of, you know, sending men on chartered missions to Mars and all this nonsense. And then when the PlayStation 3 came out, it was, we're going to have 4D gaming. And it's just this really sort of specious terms that they attach to their products. And the thing is, the iPad actually has a far, almost double the speed, clock speed processor of the PSP's processor, which is only, I think, 666 megahertz, whereas the iPad's processor is 1 gigahertz. So, I mean, not really being much of an expert on these things, I can only naively extrapolate that that means that the iPad is nearly twice as powerful, but I'm sure it's not as simple as that. But either way, it does seem a bit daft to try and claim that the iPad is the lesser of the two consoles and that the people will graduate to the PSP.
Yeah. Mental.
Mental.
But never mind. That's what he's saying. We won't begrudge him his beliefs.
I think you do a little bit.
I do. Well, no, I mean, he's allowed them, but then as long as I'm allowed, in turn, to mock them with metaphors about strange lovers.
Excellent. You live for these opportunities to write these more sort of...
I love a metaphor.
Yeah.
Whenever an opportunity for a metaphor comes along, I'm in my element. Yeah. So those are the big things that have been happening this week. For me, Sonic, that's the big story. There's let's talk about the games that have come out or have been announced. Something called Wii Rule by NG Moco and, well, published by NG Moco, maybe by somebody else. It's coming. It's a kind of social gaming kind of, what's it called, My Farmville or whatever. It's that you know, piece of nonsense that Ben Griffin masturbates to. So that's coming. That should be good, though.
Do you really think that, or are you just saying that?
Good for people who like that kind of game, I think. NG Moco don't really release. They don't really publish bad games. They've got quite a clean.
They don't. You're right. But this is the second time in as many weeks that NG Moco has come about with an announcement for a game that basically sounds to me like a boardroom meeting where somebody says, right, we need a game that does this, rather than actually just making games that sound compelling. Because they just announced that game that's basically a kind of variation of Pocket God last week, didn't they? And now there's this.
I couldn't remember the name of the game it reminded me of the other day, but Spanner reminded me of it. It is Populous: The Beginning.
Right.
Which was I liked a lot. Okay, so other games coming. Ancient Frog is coming to the iPad, a dedicated version. This isn't massive news because I think a lot of games will get dedicated versions. Assassin's Creed Discovery came out last week and was reviewed and will be reviewed again later on by you.
It shall.
Vampire Origins came out. Brothers in Arms. Global Front is due out any day, but it's not out.
Right. What is that a proper sequel to the Gameloft game that came out, you know, when the iPhone just came out?
That's right, yeah. It's a new Brothers in Arms game. It's looking good. It's getting a lot of press. Kotaku have picked up on it, and a few others. And it's gonna be a big one.
This is the first I've heard of it, I'm ashamed to announce.
You should read a little website called Pocket Gamer.
I should,
UK.
I should. Yeah.
Because we actually didn't do a preview. But we did, but Will has seen it, and Tracy's seen it, and so we've got a news item with impressions and screenshots. The screenshots were released the other day. And it actually looks brilliant. It looks really global in scale, which is appropriate because it's called Global Front. And there's plain bits, and it looks very nice. So check that out. I really like the Brothers in Arms games, you know. I like World War II games. That's the only kind of... Well, I like other first-person shooters, to be fair. But my favourite is World War II games.
Really?
I don't know why. I just never get bored of them. I don't know what it is. I played both Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2. Left me cold. I just thought, well, what do I care? I don't want to shoot contemporary people in an airport or in a car park or in places where I already go. And these weapons are all too overpowered. I like the weapon set that you've got in World War II. It's kind of, I feel like I can comprehend it, and I recognise all the guns, and I'm familiar with it. And it's just, and I think on just a personal level, I get quite into it. You know, I really like Band of Brothers and The Thin Red Line and Saving Private Ryan even.
Do you never feel that it's a little bit tawdry, though? Do you never feel that it's sort of a bit crass? I've enjoyed a World War II shooter as much as the next man, but there are times when I sit down in front of a game like this, and I think it was actually on one particular occasion, it was ages ago on the PlayStation 2, and I was playing Medal of Honor game, and it had that really iconic sort of beach, storming the beach at Normandy first level section. And I remember my wife was kind of sitting in the room watching on, as she often does, and she said, you know, if my granddad was to see this, he would be utterly, utterly horrified that people engage in this for entertainment. And
well, true.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I wasn't even born. I mean, I do think that. Sometimes when I'm playing a World War II game, sometimes I think, two things. One, is this treating history a bit cheaply? But then I can't really sustain that argument, because if it is true, it's only as true as it is for contemporary games depicting the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And ancient games. I mean, it's... Yeah. So it would sadden me if I were playing a game like that and somebody were to walk in the room and say, oh, I lost friends in that conflict. I'd think, oh, yeah, sorry. But at the same time, I don't think one can really concern themselves too much with that sort of objection. Really,
yeah,
because there's death and destruction. Every game has death, and even Mario is a death game, and it's obviously not simulating a real world event. But yeah, no, I agree with you that it's tawdry, but I just,
it tap into a broader point about whether or not games are sophisticated enough to communicate sophisticated messages and ideas about these very sensitive topics. But that's another discussion.
But yeah, not really with World War II games, because World War II games, I think that's the other thing, is World War II is, as far as wars go, relatively cut and dry. It's not completely,
true.
Obviously, but any other war, you think, who am I, the good guy, am I the bad guy? World War II, yeah, good guy.
Yeah.
Allies good, Axis bad. And so with World War II, it's much more simple.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, in reality, it clearly isn't quite that simple. But it's closer to being that. You feel better about killing Nazis than you do about killing terrorists / freedom fighters.
/ freedom fighters, yeah. Interesting. No, that's I think you're right.
But that's not really it. There's no moral element to it, really. It's just that I really dig World War II stuff and the kind of sweeping orchestral music and the fake sentimentalism and the weapons and the way everyone's wearing. I just dig it. I'm like one of those people who, they go to battle reenactments in America from the Civil War. I'm kind of like that, but for World War II video games. So anyway, yeah, and that's coming to iPhone, and it should be really good, I imagine.
I hope so, yeah.
So we're done. We're out of news.
We're newsed up. Okay.
Yeah. That can only mean down we go.
Down we go. Into the dark, dank, murky depths.
Yeah. Off the room of mine. Does this music play live?
It does, yeah. I'm just opening it slightly ineffectually here.
I'm gonna play Strange and Beautiful on my guitar. while we're waiting.
Do that. You're right, it doesn't pick up the guitar.
Yeah, I'm really just filling time now.
Right, well, I've got it here ready now, so here we go.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
Finally. I've never been so keen to actually get into the Rimmer mine.
Yeah. And now we're here. You still glad that you were keen now that we're actually in here?
No, I think that was I was over eager. And now I'm just bitterly disappointed, as I always am.
Yeah, me too. Although I'm never disappointed is probably the wrong word, because I always know what I'm in for when we descend into this slimy, smelly place. Let's just get it over with, shall we?
Let's.
One of the first one, iPad 2.0, already in development. The Rumor Miner is the author of this, has learned. It's from TechCrunch, though, originally. And that's it, really. The second iPad is coming. It's going to be 15 inches. It's going to be kind of more like a laptop. Which was actually, that was the rumor beforehand. That before it came out, the rumor was that there's going to be a 7-inch model,
yeah,
and a bigger one. And there wasn't a 7-inch model. The one that's come out is 9.4 or something. But it's not particularly a surprise that there's also a bigger one coming later. This was just what we already thought. But, yeah, apparently it's happening. Someone's seen it. Someone's told somebody that it's coming. So there's another iPad to follow the original iPad. Rumor. Hardware update coming.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Or is it? I don't know.
No, it's not really.
Not really, is it?
It's because, you know, all hardware gets updated.
It's the same, but bigger.
Yeah. Sonic not coming back to the Olympic Winter Games. Oh, Sonic. Sonic is a major feature of today's podcast.
He really is. Sonic, yeah. Sent home in shame. To have his feet whipped by the ruler of whichever country he comes from, or no?
Sorry, say again. I was distracted temporarily.
Yeah, no. I was just saying Sonic sent home in shame, perhaps, to have his feet whipped by whatever the leader of whichever punishing regime he comes from.
Clearly you're thinking of China, and quite frankly, sir, I think you're a racist. Well, you know what? I love calling people a racist.
I've noticed.
I love it.
It's such a difficult thing to back out from as well.
I know, because it's really hard. Yeah, it's harsh. It's people don't, because it's credible, that's it. Because you can call people other things, which are even worse than racist. There are worse things to be than a racist, believe it or not. But you call them that, and it's obvious it's an insult. But racist is just on the line where you could be, you know, and they don't want other people around to hear you say it, because it's such a kind of mundane but cruel thing to be.
It's difficult because you have to either just sort of nonchalantly shrug it off, in which case, you know, and the motivation for doing that is, if I shrug it off, then people will realise that I'm so not bothered by this ridiculous comment that it's clearly not true. But there's also the danger that people think, who are watching on, ooh, maybe he is a racist. Maybe he's just shrugging it off because he's a racist and he doesn't care. You know? But other thing you can do is, you know, go really, really staunchly against it and then sound a little bit like you're overcompensating. So much guilt.
Yeah, the best thing to do if someone calls you a racist, just to kind of walk away from the comment, not subsequently discussing it whatsoever. I think that's probably the best thing to do when someone accuses you of being a racist for implying that the Chinese regime is involved in torture. Which, let's face it, it is. So anyway, that's not coming back, probably. That's what the rumor miner thinks. Sega hasn't got back to the rumor miner about this particular issue, but there could be a licensing issue or something like that. But and the other possibility is that it's somehow related to Sonic 4 coming out. This may be some kind of weird marketing PR activity. Who knows? Who knows?
That would be that would be new ground Sega's breaking there, if that's the case. I can't quite fathom what the logic will be if that is the case. But, yeah. Interesting speculation nonetheless.
Maybe because they think it's... I mean, I can sort of see. If they think it's rubbish, you know, if they're not happy with the game and they think it'll... If it's mediocre and they don't want to water down people's anticipation of Sonic 4 by releasing a Sonic IP that isn't particularly interesting to people, then they might think that, okay, we'll find... We'll get whatever sales of this now, but then by the time Sonic 4 comes out, people will be less interested because there'll be less anticipation.
Bearing in mind that there's still a good 5 months until Sonic 4 is due as well. So.
Yeah, that's true. Rolando 3 has ground to a halt, according to the rumour miner. It was supposed to be out this last year, 2009. It was supposed to be out. When it was first announced, which I think was kind of the middle of last year, they announced Rolando 2 and Rolando 3 at the same time. One coming out in September and another one coming out later in the year. And it hasn't come out, and they've just kind of wandered off. I think someone from Pocket Gamer, possibly Tracy, possibly somebody else, emailed Hand Circus about Rolando 3 a while ago, and they said, we're working on something else at the moment. We're too busy with such and such a game. Smiley face.
Do we need Rolando 3 quite yet? I'm quite happy with the Rolando that we have so far, to be honest with you. I think they could do with letting that franchise lie a little bit and then build anticipation a little bit later.
Yeah.
Bring it back in a blaze of glory.
Perhaps, yeah. It definitely hasn't been the kind of iPhone Mario that it looked like it might be in the first place.
Yeah.
It's just sort of disappeared. I'm a bit confused by the freemium model for this game. And actually, for all games. But there are some games like Field Runners. Somehow, it just makes more sense to me. You know, you buy another map. Whereas with a platform game, I sort of think, well, what am I going to buy? And I've got Rolando 2. But I haven't ever gone into the options to buy more content. Because I've never done that with a platform game before.
I think what's happened with Rolando 2, though, is that you bought the full game when it came out.
No, I got the free game.
Oh, right, okay. Right.
And so I got the free game, played it for a bit. But what happened is I didn't really engage in it. And maybe this is me, because I download so many games onto my iPhone, so maybe I'm a special case. But I'm just going to go through the psychology of a particular gamer. I mean, let's see whether it's applicable to other people. It was just after the freemium model became possible, when Apple said it was okay to charge for in-app transactions, in-app payments for free games, which previously you couldn't. They had to be paid games. So when that happened, I went, oh, right, well, this is a good opportunity to check out Rolando 2. So I downloaded it, and then I started kind of rolling my little guy around. But I was I had this weird confusion and anxiety at the back of my mind, thinking, so what's happening? What, am I playing the game now? Is this me playing? Because I haven't paid anything yet, and I haven't bought any DLC. So is this going anywhere? What am I doing here? Like that, just kind of tumbling about, rolling about. Even though it was just playing, just like Rolando 1, this kind of weird, difficult to identify anxiety was kind of there. And then that was it, really. And then I thought, well, I don't really want to buy anything for it, because I didn't think Rolando 1 was actually all that great. So that's it. I just stopped playing.
Psychology of an App Store customer.
Yeah, I wonder whether that describes other people's experience with the game or with freemium games, because very much for me, that's what my experience with freemium DLC type games has been.
Yeah.
I don't really want to... I suppose I still have this tiny little bit of hungover suspicion about buying stuff like that from, you know, back in the old days where you used to buy a mobile game and you get signed up for, it was the whole Crazy Frog thing. You buy the Crazy Frog ringtone and then you end up spending £4 a week.
Yeah.
In this weird contract that you didn't realise you'd signed up to. And I suppose maybe I still have a little bit of that suspicion. I don't know what it is. The point is, freemium makes me feel anxious and suspicious. It's probably just me. Anyway, so those are the rumors.
Those are the rumors. Yeah. Okay. That's all the rumors, is it? That's us completely rumored out.
Well, there were lots of news rumors, weren't there? But in terms of the rumor mine, which is where from now on we'll be drawing for inspiration for our rumor mine. That's it. There's nothing else.
Okay.
Well, iPad. Let's recap. iPad 2.0.
Yep.
Coming. Sonic, not coming. Back. Rolando 3, not coming.
Right. What a miserable bunch of rumors that was. It's all bad news, really. Or potentially bad news if the rumors come true. Well, no, sorry. Apart from the iPad. But mostly bad news.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Right, let's get out.
Rumor. Rumor.
Done. And we're out.
Out of the rumor mine. So now we talk about... I should explain. We used to do a two podcast a week kind of thing, where in the second podcast, which came out on Monday, we used to talk about the games we've been playing. But we're going to stop doing that. So that's, we don't like that anymore. We've basically gone off it. We're very fickle.
We are.
Yeah. So now, Fraser and I, still no Chris. Still no Chris.
Still no Chris. Not here, no. I don't know what Chris is up to today. Perhaps he's, like you surmised the other week there, sleeping a skip with a newspaper over his face.
Yeah. I think that's where he lives now. Permanent.
Right. Okay. So, well, what game... what shall we announce, first of all, the games we have been playing and then take our turns, or what we're going to do? What's the format, Rob?
We've been playing, well, Fraser's been playing Assassin's Creed, and I've been playing Battle of Puppets.
Yeah.
So, I don't know who we're going to decide is drawing the short straw there, but we can explain. I'll explain a bit about Battle of Puppets.
Right.
Battle of Puppets is a kind of, got a lot of buzz this week in a amongst us game journalist types, because it looks very nice. It's kind of got a Little Big Planet type aesthetic, which a lot of people have picked up on. High production values, it's very cute, and it came out, and it's a kind of, I'm not sure what the name of the genre is, but I'm going to say castle versus castle. And in it, there are castles at either end of the screen, and you have to deploy one of four different kinds of troops while upgrading your castle intermittently in order to eventually overwhelm the opposition and destroy their castle before they destroy yours. And that is the game. Well, it's got an opera theme. It's opera themed.
It's got a puppeting theme, surely.
Oh, well, it's got both. It's right. It's definitely got a puppeting theme, because the protagonists, the sprites, are puppets, but it all takes place on stages. So all the combat doesn't take place it's kind of fictionalized. So it takes place on these kind of cardboard cutout stages, and it's quite stylish because as you kind of take territory, the background kind of flips. So some set designer, some set hand, some roadie, I don't know who does the sets and these things, obviously pulls a rope, and this other backdrop just kind of slides down and to indicate that you're winning. So it's very stylish,
right?
And solid and complete. But I'll talk about what I think of that. Actually, yeah, let's just plow on with it. You haven't played this game, have you?
I've not played it. No.
But you covered it in the App Store.
I did, where I was very enthusiastic about it, because it does look so endearing, so just looks cool.
I'm going to play some music for you.
Right, okay.
I think that's always nice, isn't it, to get a sense of what it sounds like. It's just this same tune all the way through. Yeah, it does look brilliant. What it is you have a map of America, and you're going from place to place on this map of America to different theatres, trying to take them over. And and this is the music, just goes over and over and over again. But it's there's a real skill to video game music, isn't there? Because they can write stuff like this, and it just never gets boring.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's the trick. It has to be something that's infinitely loopable.
Yeah, and this is quite loopable.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, so that carries on. So what it reminds me of, I mean, it's the same kind of game as Trenches that we talked about a while ago. And so as I said, you're kind of trying to make your way from left to right across the screen. You have like a home base to start off with, and two kinds of units that you can generate from this home base, like just a bog standard one and one that stands a bit back and like lobs cannonballs over onto your enemy. And then you can upgrade your castle. Once you've upgraded it once, there's another unit available to you. This is like a woman, a Valkyrie on a horseback. And once you update your castle a second time, you get like a proper cannon, which just obviously again hangs back and shoots people. And as you make your way across, it's quite a small stage, but it's divided into three sections, I suppose. And they're flags, and you have to get to the flag, and you take the flag. But once you've taken it, you can put a little base there, and you can start creating units from that one and upgrading it, just like you can with the first one. And if they get there, then they build a house, and you have to knock the house down before you can change it to your colour flag and start building. And that's really it. That's the whole game, and it's the whole game, every level. So once you play the first level, or the first level is quite easy, and pretty soon it gets quite difficult. It's actually very repetitive, but it works quite well. I suppose there are two things that really make this game stand out, because it does stand out really in its genre. One of them is that it's just the presentation. It's just like the sound and the graphics are great, really solid. The people who've designed it have had a really kind of clear vision of what it's going to be, and they've executed it very well. So that's good. And then in terms of the gameplay, to contrast it with Trenches, which I thought was quite fiddly and awkward in places, this isn't at all. So your units, so you have some units who naturally kind of stand at the front with their little daggers, hacking at people. And you have other units that stand back firing cannons. But you don't need to tell them where to stand. Like the ones right. with cannons will automatically hang back. And so actually all you need to do is tap on the base to make them come out. And they come out and they just walk until they meet opposition. The hackers will walk right into the opposition, the people with cannons will hang back an appropriate distance. So that's good. You never need to think about placement. Which, you know, if you want to think about placement, then maybe that'll frustrate you, but this is a very casual take on it. As well as that, it's quite small, and it's only on one plane, so there's no depth to it. It's all just on like a 2D stage. And at the bottom of the stage, there's this little kind of slider thing, and it just tells you kind of indicates where the flags are and what's going on. So if there's a battle, like to your right off the screen, you can just look down and there'll be this tiny little slider and there'll be this little kind of flashing bit to show the battle is, and you just tap it and you're there instantly. So there's no kind of fiddly swiping at the screen trying to find units. You don't have to place them. All of that's kind of taken care of for you, and it's very automatic.
Okay.
And there's other little things, there's other little touches, like when your base is, because it's not automatically ready to upgrade, you need to do a certain number of things, you need to kind of be playing for a while before it's possible to upgrade your base, you know, after which you can start building better units. And so you're just getting on with it, and as soon as it's ready, it goes bing, little, you know, you get a little sound to say it's ready, and then you go, all right, so it's ready, and you go back and you do it. So everything, the whole experience is really slick, and it's really cleverly designed in terms of gameplay as well as aesthetics.
Okay.
I really liked it. It was the first game of this kind where I could really see what the advantage was. You know, that it would be fun, basically, because I didn't really see that with Trenches. I know that you and Chris were quite positive about it, but I saw that game and thought, because there's no real subtlety of strategy. It's very total annihilation. You just throw units, and if that's not working, then you build defences, but it's not There didn't seem to be much to it beyond that. Whereas with this game, I thought, okay, well, this gets it right, because it's quite a superficial gameplay mechanic, but then they've matched that with a really kind of casual take on it, and it's very playable. It's never awkward. The game never annoys you. It goes out of its way to make everything convenient and easy, and it looks great. So yeah, it's a good game. All the people who say it's good are right, but it is very repetitive.
Okay. There are different, I'm sure I read that there are different unit types and things in different levels as well, though, aren't there? So there's a bit of variation there, even though it's slightly hands-off. Am I right in thinking that, or did I get that wrong?
Well, there are four different unit types.
Right, okay.
To my knowledge, and, you know, I've played this for about an hour, uh-huh. And during that time I never advanced to a point where there were other unit types, and it didn't seem to me that there was space for it to happen.
Right.
Okay. You know I mean, there wasn't. I didn't get the. And, you know, and I could be completely wrong about this. It could be the case that suddenly after the point where I stop playing, it just opens up and there are loads more units, and then it suddenly becomes 3D and everything. But that's not what I think happens. I think that. And you know, that's the criticism that Keith Andrew, who reviewed it, made as well, is that it's very repetitive and it doesn't really change much beyond. Okay. When you first start, the one thing it introduces is time limits for levels. So you not only do you have to beat the level, but you have to beat it in a certain time, and that really ramps up the challenge level.
Okay, awesome. That's Battle of Puppets then.
Yeah. Do you think you're gonna give it a go?
Yeah, I am, just because I think it looks so enticing. I mean, obviously, I take all your criticisms about it being repetitive. It's probably going to be one of those games that I won't spend as much time with as perhaps, oh God, I don't know what I'm saying this morning. It's one of those games that probably looks a lot more enticing than it is to play. But I don't know, I was just so sold on its presentation that it's just kind of an inevitability that I'm going to buy it. So I suppose that's all the developer cares about. But I don't know whether or not I'm going to fall in love with it after hearing yours and Keith Andrews' reports about it. But never mind.
I have another thing to say, actually, which I omitted from my review. There is a further gameplay element, and that is that you have professions, which your troops, which you can kind of deploy during battle. So you can train your guys to get applause, which makes them go faster, for example, and that's just something you double tap on the screen to make that happen. The electrician blinds enemies for a second. With a flash, stopping them moving, and so on. And there are five of those. There are six of those. So that kind of adds something to it. You can basically, you have a range of special powers which you can choose, but I don't think it adds massively to it, but it certainly is in there.
Okay, shall we move on to the Assassin's Creed Discovery?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. Assassin's Creed Discovery is the game I've been playing this week. It doesn't have Assassin's Creed 2 in the title, but it's obviously kind of been developed alongside Assassin's Creed 2, the console version, and it's set in Italy, and the main character is Ezio as well, who's the main character in the other console games. It's very different from the first iPhone Assassin's Creed game. You can really tell that this game has been designed specifically for the iPhone rather than kind of ported across as the first one was from the DS version. It's like the other Assassin's Creed games, it mixes a kind of combination of stealth, free running, and sort of, I don't know, sword combat, hand-to-hand sword combat. And it's these three different elements that I think they're not. Each individual element is really, really well carried off, but the mix of them sometimes doesn't necessarily work, and I'll explain why in a minute. That is what it is. Shall I give it an appraisal now?
Yes, do.
Right, I'll do that. Okay, well, I think my problem with Assassin's Creed in general, and this isn't just a criticism of Assassin's Creed Discovery, is that some aspects of the game are so much fun that they end up making me terrible at the other aspects of the game. And that, and specifically what I mean is, it's so exhilarating to engage in the free running. It's so exhilarating and fun to just merrily start dashing all over the place and leaping from rooftop to rooftop and kind of vaulting between walls and jumping over enemies' heads and just really building momentum, that it's all too easy to then basically stumble straight into a situation that was clearly demarcated as a stealth section. So obviously there'll come a point where there is a selection of guards, and you know, really what the game is wanting you to do and what the designers are intending for you to do is to slow down and to adopt a more stealthy approach and to kind of try and take the enemies out one by one, rather than just rushing headlong into them and you know, finding yourself in the sort of situation where you have to deal with you know, three or four different enemies all at once. And this game has been designed in such a way that if you do actually find yourself in that situation, there's not really an awful lot you can do. You mostly have to stand and fight. You can try and run away, but more often than not, they'll be able to catch up with you. In the other Assassin's Creed games, you know, even if you were a bit impatient and you did find yourself in that situation, you would still often have the opportunity to run off and hide, and that's not really possible in this version, which means that if, like me, you're a bit impatient and rash and impetuous, you'll end up in this situation quite a lot, and there are quite a few deaths to be had because of that. So that's really, I don't know whether or not that's a criticism of my complete lack of patience or a criticism of the game's lack of balance, but it certainly reduced my level of enjoyment somewhat. But that you know, really, I think it's an extremely polished game. The controls are very reminiscent of something like Prince of Persia. It's taken a step more towards Prince of Persia, and you know, I don't know if anyone's ever played the. Of course they have, but I don't know if you, Rob, have played the Xbox Live Arcade HD version of Prince of Persia that came out a few years ago. But it was very, very good, and it reminds me an awful lot of that. And the controls are really, really simple in the same way that game's controls are. So yeah, you know, when you've basically kind of got like one interchangeable action button essentially. So like there's a button for jump, but then there's another button that will, you know, if it's a situation that requires stealth, pressing it will put you into a sort of stealthy mode. If it's a situation that requires you to hide in a bale of hay, then it'll do that. And so it's quite multi-purpose and context sensitive. So it's intuitive in that respect. It's gorgeous looking. It looks really, really good. The animation's really fluid, and again, this sense of momentum, which I think is just, I think it's one of the easiest ways to kind of grab a player's attention is to give them some momentum to play with. This idea of kind of building pace, it's just a really intoxicating and addictive quality in any game, and this game gets that right straight from the off.
Yeah, it's what makes the console games, I think. Just the pleasure of running around makes it. Definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing with this game. Because obviously there isn't the same freedom that there is in a 3D world, they have to sort of, they have to rein in the structure a little bit. And so I kind of approach it with this attitude where I'm just going to dash about the place and run around, but the game doesn't want me to do that. The game wants me to dash around for a little bit, then it wants me to kind of stop being so over-exuberant and just bring it back a little bit and assassinate people. And this is the thing, you know, when you do tackle enemies, you've got the choice of, you know, if you approach them stealthily, you can take them down with a stealthy kill in one go without too much trouble. But if you get engaged in a sword fight, there's no telling whether or not that they might end up getting the better of you. And, yeah, there are walls, there are gameplay walls, if you like, where you'll sometimes come up against an enemy where no matter how many times you attack him, he will always be able to block your attacks. So it's sort of clear that that's an enemy that you then have to just sort of try and run away from and probably end up getting chased down by and killed. Or, indeed, if you approach it properly the way you're supposed to from the outset, you're supposed to just kind of assassinate him slowly. But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe I can't decide whether or not it's my fault that I'm not so keen on this, or if it's because it's such an ambitious sort of mix of gameplay styles that they're trying to cram into essentially a 2D platforming game. But ultimately, it's not blown me away yet.
Do you find there's a certain kind of game? Metal Gear Solid, Assassin's Creed to some extent, Thief, also to some extent, where you're expected to do something stealthily, or there's a way you're supposed to do something which is slow and methodical and quiet. But then, well, when I play these games, I always get rumbled. I always just muck it up somehow and end up just getting into a massive firefight, and everybody can hear me, or, you know, in the case of Assassin's Creed, just standing in, and I'm talking about the console version, standing like with 10 guards around me, kind of just hacking them all to pieces, thinking, the mission didn't want me to do this. And I feel like the game is judging me. The game is saying, you idiot. I was asking you to do was sneak up to them, and look at you now. You've created a ruckus.
Well, it's also about kind of the way in which you choose to embody the character as well, because I think that's a really important thing in games. And when I play something like Metal Gear Solid, I really want to be this sneaky character who, you know, nobody detects and comes in and just kills people ruthlessly and really, really quickly without being detected. And I really want to become complicit in that experience. I want to become an actor in that experience. I want to act out the role that's been given to me. And when, like you say, something that happens that kind of, because of my inability to actually live up to that role, when that happens, and when, you know, I get rumbled and I end up in a firefight, I feel like I've broken character. And I feel like not only have I kind of have I contravened the objective that I've been set out to achieve, I've also kind of gone against the grain of this character. And I feel like it sort of disrupts the experience for me. But, yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate it when games, when I can't play games sneakily enough. But the best one was Thief. I loved Thief, because that just kept, you know, dropping you. It was impossible to avoid sneakiness in Thief. Even if you did muck something up and you got in a bit of a sword fight with someone, you killed them, you dragged their body into a shadow, you went back to the shadow. Very quickly, you were back to sneaky mode.
Yeah.
I found with Assassin's Creed, on the console, I just walking, like, I couldn't just walk down the street without getting in a brawl, because I would just bump into someone, like, and then I would bump into someone and they'd drop a jar, and then a guard would say, "Hey, you!" And I'd go, and I'd just try and keep walking, and then they'd follow me, then I'd accidentally bump into someone else, and maybe even a guard, and then suddenly I'd have, like, 3 guards trying to kill me. So I'd be, either I'd run up the roofs and run away, thinking, "Whoa, can't believe this has happened again!"
Yeah.
Or I'd just stab them all to death. Yeah, it's annoying. But the iPhone one, how does it compare to Prince of Persia, the original?
The original Prince of Persia.
Which is better? Which is more fun?
That's a very interesting question. I think, you know, with retro games, it's always the case, as we've discussed before, when you go back to them, they're invariably shite. You know, or not always, but almost always. And I think that would be the case. Comparing this to Prince of Persia would be unfair. This trounces it, I think, pretty much.
What about the Prince of Persia XBLA? Okay.
That's a different kettle of fish altogether. I think I've not really played Assassin's Creed 2 long enough to cast an iron judgment on that. But on first impressions, I probably enjoyed Prince of Persia a bit more, to be honest with you.
Yes, that, as you were talking, I was thinking that. I was thinking this. As you were talking, this makes me want to play Prince of Persia. I'll say what else I played. Going off topic, Shadow Complex XBLA, very good.
Oh,
it's brilliant! Really, 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 really brilliant. I hope they bring that out on iPhone. They should do.
Yeah, that's epic, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what I think about Epic. I just got Gears of War 2, and I've never been so underwhelmed by what is apparently a AAA title ever.
Yeah, I quite liked Gears of War, but Gears of War 2, I made a mistake. I played it on a difficulty level that was too easy for me, which isn't to say I'm a super skilled gamer, because I'm not. I can't remember even what difficulty I was at, whether it was medium or whether I put it on easy for some reason.
Uh-huh.
But I just coasted through the game, and it was so underwhelming because there was no challenge. But then I'd done it, and I thought, well, I'm not going to go through it all again at medium. I really ruined that game for myself. It's made me a bit sad.
Yeah. So, I could go on for hours about why I'm underwhelmed by it, but I'm not going to. I like the first game too, but the second one I'm just not into. Yeah.
Okay. Both Chris and our old friend Alex are waiting in the wings to come on just to say goodbye.
Oh, really?
So before we say that, so what do we think this week I say buy Battle of Puppets. What do you say to Assassin's Creed?
I say give Assassin's Creed 2 a go. I say Assassin's Creed Discovery a go. It's certainly a good game, but I you know, if you've got an impatient temperament, then be careful.
Okay.
Another thing, though, before we move on with our guests, if you can call them that, the competition.
Oh, yes.
Shall we do that now, or should we do that when they're here?
No, do it now.
Okay, I'll do it now. The winner of last week's competition was Rodney from Earphone Maniac. I'm not exactly sure if that's his real second name. I don't think it is.
It's Danish.
Is it? Right, okay. And there was me thinking it was just a handle. He wrote in with the correct answer, which was, of course, Queen versus Daft Punk. And the reason we played that song is because it's one of the main sort of title tracks for the game DJ Hero, which, if you remember, last week we speculated might be coming to the iPhone, iPod Touch and iPad. So well done to you. That is a £5 iTunes gift voucher coming to you. And for this week... Guesses, please, people, or correct answers even, write to me, fraser@pocketgamer.co.uk, and if you're right, I'll read you out next week, and, you know, give you a prize. What do you reckon, Rob?
Yeah, that is what'll happen.
That is what'll happen, but of the song.
It brought back memories, which I thought I had buried, that involve a clown, a cat, some semolina and the corpse of a beaver.
You're making this easy for me. Awesome.
So yes, yeah.
So those are not necessarily clues, but if they help you in any way, then that's good. So
yeah. I'd be amazed if they did help you. Okay, let's dial in our guests.
All right, let's.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Chris.
You missed a hell of a show.
Have I missed anything? Are we ready yet?
Well, yeah. The show is pretty much recorded, but we're about to add Alex in as well.
All right. I've been waiting here for an hour.
Oh, aye.
And we're just having an Auf Wiedersehen party.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah. So what have you been up to then? Yeah. Any nice dreams?
Any nice dreams? I did. I was dreaming that our entire back end system hadn't been broken by some idiot.
Yeah. It's all right. I've already told Fraser about that. You can't drop that on me.
Alex. Is Alex there as well now?
Hello.
Alex
Hello.
Is there. Awesome.
Me and Alex have been waiting for an hour, haven't we, Alex?
I got up at 6 a.m. to prepare for this.
You guys should have just had your own alternative podcast.
We should do. Alex and the Alex and Chris show, I like that.
Yeah, could have had like a podcast sort of X Factor thing where people vote.
We're having a party in Barcelona, Pocket Gamer is, a little drinks thing in the World Congress in a couple of weeks' time. You know when you have to invite like about 200 people to get 100 to turn up or something like that? What's the rule?
I think that is the rule.
Well, we've invited about 300 people, and I've got about 100 replies so far in the first 2 days, I think. I'm slightly concerned.
That's a lot of free booze.
Yeah, it's a lot of free booze. No, well, anyway, you know, it should be good. But obviously, you guys, you know, you're welcome to come along if you were in... Alex is coming, aren't you?
I'd never heard about this party. This is like high school.
Yeah,
you remember all the cool kids got an invite, didn't I? Didn't you get one in there?
Where was my invite? I'm asking that question as well.
Yeah. I thought you were coming out to Barcelona. You're not. You just had to sort out your travel. We could do with some weather to all out there. To be honest, we haven't got anyone to stay. But yeah.
Oh dear. Oh god.
So, Alex.
Hello.
Hello. Are you fully awake or fully asleep or somewhere in between?
I'm awake. I'm good. I'm emailing people.
He's working. It's his job. It's good.
I'm emailing America.
What, the country?
Well, not specifically the country, more a person within the country.
That's right. Got to be expensive, email in America.
Sure.
Long distance.
Yeah, but I'm using an American company to email them.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
It's like a calling card.
They charge you for every email that you send, you know that. You've got to pay for the email you send as well as the ones you receive.
I just expense that back, so it's fine.
It's okay.
That's going to be nothing in comparison to the drinks bill for the Mobile World Congress.
It's classy, wow. Yeah, 300 people. Having to get 300 people drunk.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about the logistics of that because I'm planning a wedding, which is happening.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, we haven't got our invite for that either. So
no one has. Pocket Gamer creative director did my invitations for me.
I bet he's getting an invite.
Well, he's got one. He's got a couple. Samples.
He can fill his name in and just come along, can't he? I'll get him to knock off a few couples. You can distribute them in Barcelona if you want, build up the numbers.
Yeah, good old Barcelona. I've been there before.
We'll send back some pictures, don't worry. We'll send some photos and everything. It's fine. I'm going to Hamburg next week, so I won't be here again next week.
You're not impressing me because I've been to both of those places.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just telling you I'm not going to be here.
Who are you? Who are you going to see in Hamburg?
Prostitutes.
Oh, for God's sake.
Who?
Oh, casual.
Sorry, that was my Tourette's.
I'm not going to see Tourette's. It's like your brother-in-law. Yeah, no. I'm speaking at it. Yeah, I know. I'm going again.
Rob got his wallet stolen in Barcelona. That's an entertaining story.
He was robbed.
I got my wallet, some money. I put some euro. I was paying a bar bill, and I put it on one of those little trays that you put it on in Europe. And this guy came in and threw a flyer down, and it landed on the little ashtray.
Uh-huh.
And then when I pulled the flyer off, the money was gone, and he was obviously long gone. I was drunk. Spent about an hour wandering the streets of Barcelona trying to find him.
I bet he was flying for a Pocket Gamer party.
Probably was. Actually, it was familiar. This is before I met you, Chris, but think of it. I did always think.
I was collecting for an investment project.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And what goes around comes around, doesn't it, eventually? So there you go. Okay, well, so what? We should get into the games then.
No, this party's over. We've had all the free drink. We've had all the free drink that you generously donated.
All right.
All the breakfast booze is gone.
All right, Rob, sign us off.
Okay, go to pocketgamer.co.uk, read everything there, particularly the stories by Rob Hearn, and give us a rating on iTunes.
Yeah.
And aside from that, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me, and... someone has just made a last-minute appearance. Oi! Bark!
We're not wave. No, stop.
Stop.
He's not even interested.
Work.
No, not alone.
And we're off.